The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
A very good afternoon, Rolien. How are you this afternoon?
Good, and you. And before we get into our topics, we do have some news. A 41-year-old man is in moderate condition after being stabbed by a Palestinian terrorist. The terrorist was neutralized. He is in stable condition, but he was neutralized by a civilian who was armed nearby. This was in Ramot, Jerusalem, just moments ago.
Wow. Well, please keep us updated, even if you get any updates on that, during this time. After a 10-year pause, EU foreign ministers have decided to renew a high-level council. And this is an important moment in Israel diplomacy. But why was the council suspended, though, in the first place?
Well, this is a council that's made up of European foreign ministers and would work together with the Israeli foreign minister, who's currently our interim prime minister, Yair Lapid, acting foreign minister as well. And in 2013, Israel suspended the council, suspended ties with the council, because they took a decision distinguishing settlements from the rest of Israel for the purposes of any future agreements they would make moving forward. But yesterday, the foreign ministers voted in favor of reconvening this. This now follows a break of about nearly 10 years. And the reason for this is severalfold. First of all, they want to proceed with relations with the State of Israel. It's beneficial to all. I think, given that the EU Commission President was here just a couple of weeks ago and she signed memorandums of understanding, and she spoke about wanting to increase the amount of cooperation in various fields with the State of Israel. And also, I think that we can't dismiss the role of the Abraham Accords and how that is really reshaping the Middle East. I think that European countries are looking at this and thinking, you know what, wait a minute, Israel has a lot to offer us, and it's time that we start having serious talks. I mean, we're seeing this with Africa as well, of course, not for South Africa. But another reason for it, which is also very, very important, is that they are concerned about the deteriorating situation on the ground in the Palestinian territories under Hamas in Gaza, although we have no dealings there, and the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank or Judea and Samaria. Now, they have said that, you know, that their position hasn't changed. They still back a two-state solution, which is not uncommon for global countries, including here in Israel as well. There is still support, however, dwindling for a two-state solution. And Prime Minister Yair Lapid said the decision is proof of Israel's diplomatic strength and this government's ability to create new opportunities with the international community, something that we have seen growing over the last year or so quite substantially.
The renewal, what does renewal of this high-level foreign council actually mean for Israel, though?
Well, this means that meetings will reconvene. We don't have an exact date when this first meeting after the council comes together again is going to happen. The foreign ministers, along with Israel, will convene and decide when it would be the best time to meet. But it does mean that they will be able to play a bigger role. They will be able to do more deals, more cooperation in various fields where Israel leads. I mean, we have seen when the EU president was here, the deal signed with Israel providing natural gas to European Union countries. We're looking at the situation across the European continent and the UK today with extraordinary temperatures. And I know there are many people who don't believe in climate change. There are various discussions and debate around that. But one area where Israel is focusing on and is in a position to lead is combating some of the challenges facing our earth today. One of those is water shortage, and that is an area where we lead. So I think that European countries are looking to Israel as a technological powerhouse and a leader in many fields, and this is why we are seeing this enthusiasm to go back to renewing ties. Okay. Or renewing this commission.
Right. And Nikki Haley is going to run for president in 2024. So firstly, who is Nikki Haley and why is this so monumental?
Well, first of all, it's not confirmed. We had a major hint coming yesterday that Nikki Haley is considering running for the 2024 presidency. Nikki Haley is the former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, and she's extraordinary. She's extremely experienced, articulate. She's an incredible friend of Israel, and I think everybody watching her trajectory, her performance at the United Nations on behalf of the U.S. and just how she made such strong statements, how she stood up in the face of many countries who many see as bullies in a battlefield, in a forum that people see as institutionally anti-Israel, that everybody's looking at this with a lot of interest. She's very, very vocal on her philosophy. She's very vocal on her stance in favor of Israel. And she was addressing a Christian Zionist rally in the United States yesterday. And she said, if this president, meaning President Biden, signs any sort of Iran nuclear deal, I'll make you a promise. The next president will shred it on her first day in office. So everybody is rubbing their hands together with glee, because this is a candidate that I think many people, regardless of where you sit on either side of the aisle, look at extremely, extremely favorably. A woman, she is a woman that comes with no baggage, no reputational damage, and she's a powerful politician, a powerful orator, and let's see, we're going to have to watch the space.
So we'll watch the space. So Prime Minister Lapid phoned Seth Mann, the bar mitzvah boy whose celebrations at the Kotel were ruined by religious zealots. So what actually happened to precipitate this conversation?
Well, we've had a very unfortunate trend in recent times of zealous religious folk that come to the egalitarian section of the Kotel, the Wailing Wall, which is holy for all Jews. The egalitarian section is a section put aside for those who want a more egalitarian prayer service, where women and men can pray at the Kotel together. And as I've often said on the station, that, you know, whether or not it's our way of doing things or our preferred way of doing things, you have to respect the right of all Jews and people of all religions to be able to pray in freedom without any threats of violence. And several weeks ago, we had a very, very, very unfortunate and horrible incident with a group of ultra-Orthodox Haredim, and this is not painting all Haredim like this, descended on a bar mitzvah party, and their behavior was appalling. They shoved the bar mitzvah party, they tore pages out of the siddurim, blew their noses with that, and called them names which are just too appalling to repeat on radio. And of course, this absolutely disgusted Israelis across the country, and I'm sure Jews around the world. I know that many Chai FM listeners were also appalled by this behavior. And one can only imagine the trauma for this young bar mitzvah boy and for his family having to endure that. And last night, Prime Minister Lapid took it upon himself to phone the young bar mitzvah boy and speak to him and give him some reassurances.
And just very quickly, Roline, before we run out of time, what did the Prime Minister say to Seth, do you think?
Well, he said things like, you know, this is by no means indicative of Israel, the people of Israel, the government of Israel. We are all appalled. We all condemn it. And that, you know, we're very, very sorry that this you had to go through this, and that, you know, we're here to support you with whatever you need. And we wish you a mazal tov on the occasion of your bar mitzvah. This is something that should never, ever have happened. And now the onus is on the government, supported by the Jewish Agency for Israel, who passed resolutions across the board, including members of the ultra-Orthodox representation, to the Jewish Agency to do whatever they can to ensure that egalitarian prayer is made possible in safe and non-violent circumstances.
Rolene Marks with our Daily Israel Report. Thank you so much, Rolene, and we'll be chatting to you again tomorrow afternoon.